Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Sarah Byrne. Sarah is a holistic nutrition and formulation specialist and the owner of Blooming Botanicals. Thanks for joining us today, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely. We had your husband, Brian, on before, but now we have you. So I want to see your different perspectives. I know you guys have a different view on things, obviously. And it's great. I love what you guys are doing there at Blooming Botanicals. So
definitely. It'd be fun to get two perspectives of the same company.
Yeah, exactly. Not normal. I'm not usual that I get to do that. So
yeah.
Let's start off. Let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Definitely. So I am chiming in from a very snowy, cold Michigan. We've been here for our whole lives. We've had businesses here for over a decade. Been an entrepreneur for a really long time, and it's kind of nice. We're going to speak about hemp today, and of course, hemp and cannabis in general has various states that they're kind of pioneering, but for the Midwest, Michigan really is ahead of the game. We spent time in Kentucky yesterday, so those are kind of the two pioneers over here, but it is fun to be on the forefront, as it has been for the last decade, of an entire industry like that that's so new and really being able to pioneer it.
No doubt, and I definitely want to get into what you're doing in Lexington, Kentucky, give some value there for people who are looking at formulation, everything like that, so stay tuned for that. But first, I want to talk about your journey. You know, you talk about being an entrepreneur for 10 years. You've been in the industry for a long time as well. So kind of give me, you know, your story in terms of what you're doing before and how you got to this point.
Definitely. Yeah, being an entrepreneur, it's just part of who I am. Every single person in my family is an entrepreneur, we found out. We were thinking about it. And we said, okay, the entire family, and I'm one of four kids. There's a lot of us. And we're all entrepreneurs. Both my parents are as well. Brian's sister and mom are as well. So we're just kind of, you know, surrounded by this at all times. But Brian and I have also always kind of, we've done our own thing, but we've started quite a few businesses together as well, which has its ups and downs, but it's been really fun for us just to, I think the stress is twice as much because, you know, something bad happens or work is stressful and you kind of do that together. You don't just get to tell the other person what happened on your work day and, you know, let that go away. You tell them, they already know, and both people are kind of stressed, but the fun is twice as fun as well. You know, we get to celebrate all milestones together. And, you know, in a few of our businesses, we've chosen to close and things like that. And we don't really look at that as a failure. That's where we've learned the most, you know, and being able to pivot, I think, is a really, really important part of being an entrepreneur. We all have grand ideas of what's going to happen. And usually it doesn't go that way, or at least it's not linear. You know, it might end up that place, but there's a lot of different twists and turns to get there. So it's been fun to do together, but this is a different business. I mean, we've been growers for the last 10 years. So we grew medical cannabis in Michigan and just about 10 years now. And that, of course, has its ups and downs. And, you know, now we're in hemp where we get to have a website and talk about it, make videos, be on podcasts, things like that, where it was a little bit of, it was legal, but no one talked about it. So it was just a little bit more hush-hush, which I think added a lot of stress. So we're having a lot of fun being in a similar industry we've loved for so long, but being able to be the outgoing people that we are doing that. And besides that, we've had businesses running retreats down in Costa Rica, selling a superfood product, so various herbal supplements you'd add to smoothies and recipes and things. And yeah, teaching yoga and doing massage and kind of a wellness background. So that's where I come from in a nutshell.
No, yeah, I mean, you touched on so much there, obviously. You know, being an entrepreneur, it also runs in my family. It sounds like it's kind of built in your DNA. and there's no way going around it. And I think that's an advantage in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, maybe it isn't, because maybe it's expected of you, but probably not. But it, you know, being an advantage of seeing how it is, seeing how your parents are doing things, having that resource, maybe growing up in it and experiencing the ups and downs kind of firsthand. I know for me, that was the case. I also come back, you know, from my parents' entrepreneurial background, and there's a lot of great times and a lot of like times as a kid where you don't understand. You're like, holy shit, what the hell's going on? You know, it's one thing for parents who know what's going on to, you know, to navigate it. But as a kid, I know it was like not necessarily knowing what's going on. And I get to see the cool stuff as well, how to be in a business meeting. My dad used to take me around and get to learn all that fun stuff. But you also mentioned about having a business with your spouse, you know, and that's something that's new to me. So tell me a little bit about that as well. You know, having, you know, you talked about from being a cultivator, now having botanicals, and I also want to get into the cultivation side a little bit. But how does that go for you? You know, kind of like you said, there's no separation, right? You guys make the decisions together. You guys work together. Everything else, you know, enjoy the ups and downs, and play together, eat together, everything. So how do you guys kind of separate your roles? How do you guys kind of manage, you know, the authority and expectations and communication? I think that's something that's valuable
to get. Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing is we both love it. So that's why it works. The business is fun for us. We both really like to do it. We both think as entrepreneurs. Yeah, that was a lot of interesting questions, you know, the authority and things like that. And Brian was running a consulting business in the hemp industry. So when we started Blooming Botanicals, it was really mine for the most part. I was doing most of the work, and he had these valuable relationships he had built in the industry that, you know, where we just went in Lexington, Kentucky, we went to a lab that was someone that he had worked with previously in his previous business. So he had a lot of the outreach, and that's still kind of how we have it split up. You know, he's on LinkedIn, he's taking meetings all the time. You know, he's really keeping us connected with the industry, where I'm sometimes doing a little bit more of the back end things. We have an affiliate program. I'm really big in that. And I'm mostly the one that's talking to the clients. We want to be able to offer information. A lot of people have a lot of issues and they don't know what to do. And I'm a health coach, you know, Brian is as well, actually. So we both have that background, but being able to offer, you know, I give my business card, I give my email and my personal phone number to our clients so they can call if they have questions about CBD. Just, it's hard to figure out what to take, you know, what is the right answer. And we have various formulations for different purposes. So I'm a little bit on the client outreach. He's in the community outreach a little bit more, and that's at this point how we have it divided up. But I think that comes from trial and error. You know, sometimes we're both working on the same project and then we realize we're sort of wasting time and that we need to divvy up tasks. So still always finding out the best way to organize ourselves. Is it writing on the calendar? Is it online calendars? Is it a whiteboard? We kind of bop through all of those. But for the most part, we've figured out community versus client outreach is where each of us should be focused. So it's been an interesting task, but like, we also have the same hobbies. We're an interesting duo, I think, because we go to yoga together every day too, you know, and that's sometimes where people, they'll have their own thing to kind of cut off the work day and say, now I'm going to do, you know, my hobby or self-care, whatever you want to call it. And we've always done that together as well. So it's kind of funny, but we try to have boundaries where we don't talk about work when we're not at work. And that's next to impossible, I would say. And the good side of that is it's exciting. So we come home, we say, oh my gosh, well, what about this idea? What about this idea? And we go down this rabbit hole of talking about work. And a lot of times one of us has to say, hey, we need to not talk about business. So we'll schedule days, you know, let's go skiing, no business, just fun. Or let's, you know, take a day off a week is kind of what we've talked about. Have we always managed that? No, but we're working on scheduling non-business time.
That's great. That's great. And, you know, I spoke to you guys both together and I could just tell so much that you guys were in sync. you know, just in general, you know, and really enjoy each other's company. So that's really cool. And, you know, really quickly is, you know, you talk about your more client side, he's more of the community side. Is that something that just kind of happened organically based on your individual personalities, or something that you enjoy doing more, or just the way that it filled out?
Yeah, I think that's just our natural. We're both outgoing. We both like to talk to people. We both like health. We both like sustainability. You know, so we have these backgrounds that are similar, but also very unique, where he came from more of the traditional. He did have a corporate job. He's really good at business meetings. He's really good at giving presentations and kind of being the businessman, where I like to listen to people. I like to hear people's stories. It's not that he doesn't. It's not that I don't like to, you know, give a speech too. We both can go different ways, but I like to get into the nitty gritty of people and what's going on with them and see if I can help them kind of solve a problem, where he does that on a little bit of a bigger scale. So I think it's just our natural strengths that have led us to that, but it is nice because if one of us can't take a certain thing, the other person can do it. We don't have to worry about it not being done well. But I think we just do naturally fall into those roles, definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's something that's changing a little bit, as you talk about the, you know, the business side and presentation and kind of getting my message, my pitch out there. I think that's kind of changing a little bit now, is, you know, just how everything's so service-based and relationship-based. And like you said, listening is so much more important now. I feel it's not so much about, I mean, obviously, you know, public speaking is one thing, big presentations is one thing, but definitely when you're, you know, you want to hear what somebody says before you start pitching them, because maybe that's not what they want. Maybe you can serve them a better way. Maybe there's, you're not listening to them and they're like, wait a minute. This isn't what I want at all. Why are you trying to give this to me, or whatever it is, when it's like, this is what I want. Actually, let me share with you. Why don't you listen up? And this, you know, we can come to some sort of, you know, agreement, relationship, something like that. I think that's kind of the new wave. Very good. Also, you know, we kind of have a little similar setup here. My fiance has her roles. I have my roles, and it works really well. And little suggestion, I'm not sure. Not to this extreme, but it's well documented. I'm an observant Jew and keep Shabbat, all that fun stuff. And we keep Shabbat. So that's like the best thing, that we get like 25 mm-hmm. hours a week where it's like, we're not allowed to talk about business. We don't want to talk about business. It's mm-hmm. complete something else. We're digital detox, you know, put away the phones, put away everything, you know, focus on spirituality, going to focus on physical, you know, spiritual growth and all that fun stuff. So that's really worked well for us. And now that brings me, go on.
That's a great example, you know, because I think it's the most important thing that you guys and us as well can do. And it's the easiest thing, at least from our, you know, from what we've gone through, it's the easiest thing to overlook. And you just get, it's easy to get wrapped up into it, you know, especially when you say digital detox, like everyone would do good to have that, but it's hard, you know? So really, really checking in all the time and coming back, you know, we're at the new year. I'm not a person that does resolutions or anything like that, but it is a beautiful time. Yeah. People reflect. So that, at least that's good. You know, I don't think making hard rules helps anybody. And that's where the sustainability and health comes in, but just to look at it and say, what's working, what's not working, you know, and if people did that once a month, it's not that you're bad, that you fell off and didn't do whatever it is you're trying to do, but you just come back to it and say, what's working, what's not working, what can I shift? That's it.
Exactly. I'm not perfect either. You know, it comes down to it Friday afternoon and Tubbs yelling at me saying, Maynard, what are you I'm answering, you know, emails, doing a call. And I made a rule. I'm like, okay, no more calls Friday. That's it. So anyways, you know, also something that separates you that I noticed is something that I think is lacking a lot in our industry is due diligence, you know, really making the time to research, to figure out what direction we want to go in, and making those choices over time, you know, having a vision, something to do, but really getting into it slowly instead of jumping in. I think so much in our industry is about jumping in right away we got to get something out there. And there's something to be said about jumping, you know, doing something and pivoting, but you don't want to put stuff out there that's bullshit products, you know, stuff mm-hmm. that isn't going to work or that could be misleading or something that you don't even know what's in it. So I know that you were just, first of all, give me kind of your process of your due diligence. What is your, you know, routine? What, how are you doing that to formulate the amazing products that you guys have going on there at Blooming?
Definitely. Yeah. I know we've talked about this a bit and we have taken a little bit of a, I don't know, you could say we've taken a fast road or a slow road, depending on how you look at it. But what we did is we patiently waited for the farm bill to pass. And as we all know, it passed in last December of last year. So it's been just over a year. So right now, actually, it was January last year we launched. So once the farm bill went through, we got a beta test ready. And I have this grand idea of what I want in my business and all the products and what's going to go into them. And I waited for the farm bill to pass. I mapped out a lot of things. I worked with a lot of herbalists. I worked with scientists. I worked with a lot of people. So I have a pretty grand plan in place and written, and it's all ready to go. And I had to start somewhere. And I do think it's a really, this is kind of the magic ticket in business, is you need to leave perfectionism to the side.
Yeah.
Because then you'll never get started. So you need to get started, but you are totally right that you need to start slow and move with, you know, not caution, but intention, I guess. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it just to get a product out there, or do you really believe in this? So we did a beta test and we did it for 6 months. Oh. And mind you, there's other companies that are like blowing up and doing all these things. CBD is becoming really big. It's easy to look at how many companies are out there and say, what are we doing? But we also didn't join it because it's money. It's not just dollar signs. We've been in the industry for a long time. We've been helping people for a long time. The goal is to sell our product, of course. I won't pretend like it's not. But like we said, talking to people, listening to people, if I can help someone by maybe offering them something different, or sending them to a different person, and that's actually going to help them, they're going to remember that. This is all about relationships. That's what life is. And me selling them a product that's not actually going to help them is helping nobody. So being able to kind of slow down, take a step back and figure out why you want to help people. But we did a 6-month beta and it went really well, but we tested everything. What works, what doesn't work, who's buying it, why are they buying it? You know, we really took 6 months to gather information. And then once we decided, okay, we're going to go forward, this is what we're going to go forward with. We still have the grand plan is there, but we're still going off of our beta test products. And every time we come out with a new product, so I'm coming out with a body butter. It's amazing. We just sent it out. We had 25 people that we sent them a free sample. They used it for X amount of time. They filled out a survey for us and we really got the information, because I can love something, but that does not mean everyone else will. So everything goes through this kind of beta test product by product with actual people as well. And we take all of that information into account before we launch it out to the world. Beyond that, what you put in there is really important. So no fillers, organic ingredients whenever possible, no sweeteners, no like propylene glycol in the topical. You know, I've studied health for a long time, so I'm never going to give someone something that would be harmful to their body. And those things take a little bit longer sometimes. It's easy to just come out with the product everyone's doing and add sugar or flavoring to something so people like it. But in the long run, I think you're doing a disservice when you do that. So we are very, very mindful about our formulation, what goes into it. And then we're pretty adamant about the testing as well. So it all starts with raw material. You know, you have to have a good base material when it comes to hemp. There's a lot of people with a lot of different, you know, CBD products out there uh-huh. that you can start with. And, you know, you need ample tests from all of that. And like you said, we were down in Lexington. We went and we like to tour the lab, see what they're doing, talk to the people, even just feel how it feels in that work environment, you know, where they're creating this product that's supposed to be a health product, and really see the whole start to finish. So that's important to us as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that a lot of people would be good for them to go and do that. And I don't think many people are going to check out the lab that's manufacturing their products. Now tell me, you know, you went down there, you told me Brian's been down there a few times already. What do you, you know, give our listeners a sense of what are you looking for? What exactly, you talk about feel, you talk about, you know, kind of just checking out the operations. Give me some specifics on, you know, what defines like a top notch lab right now, 2020?
Yeah. Well, not everyone's going to be able to go to the lab, and I understand that. And it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to. Kentucky has really good labs. Colorado has really good labs. If you're not in some of these bigger areas, you're not doing a bad job if you can't go to a lab. But the first question for any CBD company, CBD supplier, anything needs to be, I need to look at the COA, Certificate of Analysis. Yeah. That's just step one. You can see what's going on and make sure it's from a reputable lab. You know, that's just like, there's a handful of them, so it's not hard to get that information, but someone needs to give you that COA. I've had plenty of people try to sell me CBD and they won't give me a COA. I say run, far, fast.
And there's doctor COAs out there too. You know, there's all kinds of stuff going on, shady, shady ways of going about it.
There is. And if someone, you know, it's, that person's probably going to give you the best price and tell you it's the best product, so you're going to want it. But if someone can't give you a COA, that's putting, you know, your money where your mouth is. You know, like, what are you saying? Back it up. Give me the proof. And if somebody won't do that, don't work with them. You know, and that's just a really easy thing. So that's for a finished product, for a raw material, any of that, especially for consumers, they should know that that needs to be available to them. When it comes to the lab, most labs will let you come visit. I think that's a simple question too. Hey, can we come for a tour? They pretty much all say yes. If they don't, that's a red flag. And, you know, just ask why. Maybe they're really busy. That's fine. But all the labs we work with have said yes. So I don't know if people know that that's usually available to them, but it is. So just seeing if they're happy to work with you, explain to you what, you know, makes their product unique. You know, we want unique products. We want to make sure it's good. Will they show you the whole start to finish line? Are the employees happy? You can tell that pretty easily. I want to work with people who take care of their employees. We were laughing yesterday because, you know, Brian and I used to live in Costa Rica. We're learning Spanish. And we walked in and we said, oh, a lot of people are speaking Spanish in here, which is always exciting for us. And Brian asked them in Spanish because a few of the people running the lab didn't speak Spanish. And he asked them, do you like your boss? You know, in Spanish. He said, hey, what'd you ask? And everyone was laughing. He said, oh, I asked them if they liked their boss, which was the person giving the tour, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just, and that was just funny, but also it's important. Are they happy? Is it a nice work environment? Are there COAs for everything? Are there obvious protocols being followed? You know, these labs are pretty, pretty legit. You're going to go in, you have to wear, you know, hair nets and things. You have to see, you see the SOPs everywhere, standard operating procedures. You know, you can go in and see if it's an organized place or if it's kind of chaotic, you know.
Well, definitely, you know, does it pass the eye test? A lot of times, you know, trusting your gut, I think, plays into it as well. Like you were saying at the top as well. So.
Yeah, I'm not an extractor, so I can't look at the equipment and know exactly what's going on.
Not exactly. And I want to get into that too as well, but you mentioned something earlier. You know, you're talking about doing market research and, you know, taking, you know, doing a beta test and really seeing. Now, market research, obviously, it's super important. Now, in our industry, a lot of plays into education, right? Mm-hmm. And it's funny they mentioned the body butter because I had somebody earlier this week that I was speaking to who runs a lab, and he was talking about that we released some body butter and no one was buying it because people didn't know what to do with it. That was his term. You know, that's what he was talking about. People don't really know what it was for. Okay, cool. So it's a body butter CBD. What's that good for? Now, how much of that plays into it? Like, you know, educating people. Or is it just, you know, the numbers like, okay, we're just going to put it out there and let's see what people, what their reaction is. Let's get the feedback on it. And then we can educate it on it. How much of a balance is there to those two aspects?
Yeah, I think a lot is coming from education at this point. And there's also industry norms. I mean, when we started, we didn't want to call our oil tinctures. because technically a tincture means something was made with alcohol, and these aren't. It's just not the proper term. So we were going to call it so many other things, and we're kind of market researching it, asking people, and they say, well, it's called tincture. Everyone calls it a tincture, and that's what they understood, tincture. So we call them tinctures. It's not correct, and we know that, but it's an industry standard. Everyone calls it that. So we could spend all day trying to educate people on why it's not called a tincture, or we could cut our losses and say they already know what it is and how to use it. And then the information can be, we can focus on spreading the information that matters more so about why, how CBD works in the body, why it seems to be a miracle drug that helps everything, you know, or a miracle plant.
Stress is in our body, you know, it's in our cells. We internalize things, you know, traumas can be in our cells, you know, different things, and the shaking and moving your body. And that's why it's so important, physicality and everything. And that's what we can definitely help relieve here with the, you know, the CBD all over your body. So changing gears a little bit too, come from the cultivation side, right? With cannabis. And you talked about how it was something that it was legal, but you couldn't really talk about, and, you know, what you couldn't be out there. And I, you know, I've talked to a lot of growers, and they're talking about, you know, they came from the traditional market, you know, and then moved into the gray market, and now in the you know, mainstream legal, everything. So, you know, talk about that a little bit as well. Your experience in there, it's also a great life. It's also a great world, right? It's also something that people enjoy doing, and how it kind of relates to or compares to what you're doing now, and, you know, how people can, because I just also talked to somebody who's, he has a farm, and he's opening up his own shop, CBD shop, and he does cannabis and hemp, you know, and he does both. So, so he's kind of doing the same kind of thing, moving out there. Talk about your experience with that a little bit.
Yeah. We loved growing, and it was hard. We worked hard because we were growing.
Not an easy job.
We both had careers outside of this. You know, I was doing massage full time, working with hospice, which was a really rewarding and difficult job.
Very difficult. Wow.
Yeah, it was like the most rewarding.
Massage
and the most
was with the massage. I thought when we were talking about massage, I didn't realize it was hospice.
That was just one of the places that I had worked. And I did my own practice for a while as well. But yeah, it was really interesting, you know, and I've traveled a lot and studied some other cultures as well. And it's really interesting how our culture is pretty, we kind of ignore end of life. That's not what we need to talk about right now, but just, you know, I got to learn a lot. Well,
We can help people with that, you know, now, you know, and you're right. It's completely neglected. And
it is,
you know, and, my future mother-in-law, that's what she does in end of life. And she's all about this industry. She loves that we're doing, you know, that we do this, and she's all about it. And the quality of life, improving people's quality of life, you know, as it winds down, how important it is, and how some people have stigma until it's too late and they're in utter and complete pain. And it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah. It's just a stage of life, right? If anyone, you know, an easy comparison is just children, like how much time, energy, commitment is there to bringing a kid into the world? I think it should be the same on the other side. Easier said than done, of course, everything is, but yeah, so I was doing that. Obviously not telling anybody at my work what I did. Very different hats that I put on my massage therapist, kind of. It's a lot to take, you know, to take one hat off and put the other on, but to not be able to tell people, you know, they're like, oh, why are you guys always so busy? And that whole, like, I'm busy, but I can't tell you why.
I mean, you're doing this, it's a legal business. Is it because of the time there was so much stigma associated with it? I know I've had people on, you know, whether it's their community, right, a religious community or whoever else there is, conservative community, whatever else it is that they feel like they have to hide it, right, or someone's a soccer mom, you know, and she's like, no, I can't talk about this. Like, I can't talk about this. And now she's like, are you kidding me? This is all blasted all over. And this is who I am. Is it because that's how the times were back then? There was so much stigma associated. I mean, there's still stigma associated with it, but Was that why, or explain to me why you felt you had to hide it and you couldn't be open with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally it. It just was a different time, which is funny because we're talking about within one decade, which is a really cool thing about this industry.
It's 10 years ago is wow. You know, it's been wild what happened in that 10 years, 2010, and where it's going to be 2030. It's like, I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just, you know, and a lot of people did know. It's not that no one knew. My family, Brian's family, they all knew. We're not hiding it from our family or anything. That felt really uncomfortable. But, you know, when you meet someone and have a conversation, hey, what do you do? It's the number one asked question. We only felt comfortable with most people of giving 50% of that answer. So I think it was just the times, and there's safety concern. Not that we were ever really, you know, this got interesting. And Brian and I did, we got burnt out. We got burnt out of this life. And I think a piece of that, so we're working like 70 hours a week, half of it's hidden, a lot of stigma, it's just a lot of pressure. And some people in my family grow as well. And there was a raid, you know, they didn't break any laws. They didn't ever get charged with anything. They didn't do anything wrong. Nothing ever came of this, but they still got, you know, their house basically broken into by the police, held down on the ground with machine guns. And it was too much for us. You know, we heard that and we're like, this isn't worth it. We believe in it, but I didn't want my dogs to get shot, you know, basically, like, it was scary. And that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And we said, okay, we need a break from this. So we ended up moving to Costa Rica and doing more of the wellness retreats and things like that. I can tell every single person I have a CBD company. Some people don't know what that means. And that's a spot that I get to teach them. But most everyone, 90% of the people, 95% of the people are really open to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think people have heard of it at this point, right? It's a buzzword now. You know, just like, you know, it sucks to have this comparison, but, you know, a couple of years ago with cryptocurrency, somebody heard about it. You know, it's people are Bitcoin and, oh, you're going to jump in. And, you know, and I think it has that association, unfortunately, a little bit, where fad or people who aren't educated, calling snake oil or whatever else is going on, you know. And now, what is Botanical doing differently to answer different questions that maybe a more educated person would ask, or maybe someone who isn't, who's just getting into it, that is a question that isn't being answered?
I don't think everyone that, like, has a CBD company, and I'm never here to talk bad about other CBD companies, but we really care about health. We really care about the body. I've studied nutrition. I've studied the human body. I've studied health for a long time. So I needed to know how it worked. Why is this specific plant helping so many people? So then you say, okay, we have an endocannabinoid system. The endocannabinoid system is connected to all of our systems. It runs through the whole body, right? So all of our systems are connected. Our whole body is connected. And that's where holistic nutrition and holistic health comes in. You know, you have a problem with your kidney, let's say. You can address just that, but let's be real. The body all works together. When one thing's off, a lot of other things end up getting off. There's cause and effect. So if you look at this, the endocannabinoid system is connected to every other system in the body. So we have very stressful lives, this day and age, living. I mean, everyone always has. We're human. And when we have stress, we experience stress. There's two enzymes that get released in the body, FAAH and MAGL, and they're very hard to pronounce. So we'll go with those acronyms for them. But they go in and they actually block the receptor sites of the endocannabinoid system. Basically, they just gunk it up, you know. It's like oil. It's just going to gunk up around it, and there's nothing that can actually access it. So it shuts down the system. Our endocannabinoid system is shut down, and it's connected to every other system. There's a kink, right? There's going to be cause and effect. There's going to be problems. So what CBD they found actually does is it goes in there and it eats these two enzymes. And this is also where CBD is good for preventative, because I don't really care what's happening. Breathing air now is stressful because there's so many toxins in the environment. Somebody honks at you, that's stressful. Somebody has a bad day and gets mad at you, that's stressful. You lose somebody, that's stressful. You know, we have stress daily. So these enzymes are getting released all the time. They're going in, they're blocking these receptor sites. So CBD works in two different ways. It goes in and it eats these enzymes, And it basically just lets them pass through the body and cleans up the system. I think this is why some people feel the effects immediately and some people, it takes a couple weeks usually, because we don't know how gunked up, for lack of a better term, our system is. Mm-hmm. So you might need a couple weeks that it's just clearing these enzymes that have built up. And then once it's built up, the receptor sites are open again and it can actually take up the CBD. And what that does is it fires the system back up. The system shut down. So it allows the system to start moving, to start communicating with all the other systems. And this, to me, makes perfect sense of why it's helping so many different things, basically. So once somebody knows that, they understand that, it's pretty easy to understand, it becomes not snake oil anymore. It becomes, wow, that makes a lot of sense. My body, I'm looking at it in a holistic way. I'm looking at the root cause. Not, I have a headache, give me medicine to take care of that headache. Why do I have a headache? What sort of lack in communication is happening in my body, you know? So really we're trying to make sure everyone knows that, of how it works. And we do add other things into our products as well to pinpoint certain areas so people can kind of say, I do need more help in this area or whatever. But CBD in general is a really, really good underlying start for everyone to be taking so that their systems can open up and actually utilize these other herbs we put in there as well.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, that's the whole point here is this whole podcast, this whole thing is geared not geared towards people who are newbies. It's really geared towards people who are educated. And even there, you know, there's so much, you know, that was dank right there. That was so much potency right there that you just shared. So I really appreciate that. You said something, you know, that, you know, sometimes, you know, it comes up a lot where our body chemistry is different and may take a couple of weeks. Like you said, getting all that gunk out, getting all that stuff that's been on there on the surface, and, you know, in crevices all over, and to finally being able to be effective. So I think we live in a time now where we kind of want instant gratification. We talk about this a lot, and we're used to taking an anxiety pill and anxiety goes away, or pain medication and pain goes away. But a lot of SSRIs take a couple of weeks to kick in, that kind of stuff. But a lot of times people aren't willing to kind of go through that process with CBD. So they try it and they say, oh, nothing happened. Right. So how do you, you know, and it's not an easy question to answer, I guess, because everybody's body is different. Not everybody's going to react like that. How do you prepare someone for that when you're educating them, when you're talking to them, when it's not going to be the case all the time?
Yeah. And I mean, I just teach them, if they're willing to listen, exactly what I taught you of how it works in the body, because I think they understand that better. And the beautiful thing, if we're talking about blood thinners, that's a little different, you know, but there's most medication you can be taking CBD with hand in hand. So I'm never telling someone, oh, hey, you're on anxiety medication, take this instead. Absolutely not. I would never say that. I tell everyone to work with their doctor. Uh-huh. And you can boost your body. Also, those medications are stressful on the body, right? You might get rid of one thing, but you're adding these stress, you're adding these harmful enzymes to the body at the same time. So taking CBD, adding it into your regimen, unless you're on one of the few contraindicated drugs, you know, is going to help your body self-regulate. So you can use them side by side, you know, and I say, just like add this and see if you start to feel better. Don't take everything else away. It's not the end all be all. It's not a magic pill. It's pretty magical because of how it works in the body. And I teach, you know, that of how it works, and people really respond well to that. And if anyone doesn't want to take it, they don't believe in it, that's fine. Maybe it's not for them. You know, they're happy with whatever they're doing. Well, they're usually not, but in their mind, that's working enough for them. Yeah. Or whatever it is. So I'm not ever trying to convince someone of it, but I want to spread that information and, you know, say like, okay, well, you're on that, stay on whatever you're doing. Add this in, see how you feel after a few weeks. See if there's a shift. See if something's different. Because yes, maybe you're still on your anxiety medication, but maybe your side effects are lessened because you're clearing those enzymes. Because the side effects are coming from a buildup of these stress enzymes. So you can even start to combat side effects and things like that. People usually start to feel better And half the time people don't feel good and have disease and things like that because no one listens to them. Let's be real. Like, just listening to someone's story can be the most healing thing for them. That, you know, can lessen people's stress as well. So I've had a few people who say it's not for me, and that's totally fine. But, and you have to let people tell their own story. You have to let people make up their own mind. Does this work for me? Does this not? Yeah, I'm not here to tell someone, well, you're doing it wrong. That's not my job, you know? So really listening to them. And if they want to find another way, say like, okay, maybe a different strength or one of these different products, even I've told people other companies, you know, tried this product for whatever they're going through. It might just be a better fit. So not telling people you're doing it wrong. You should be on CBD. I think CBD will help pretty much everyone in some way because of the way it works in our body. And another piece to that, that I told how it works, that's very interesting to me, is why is it blowing up in this way now? It used to be in our food system.
Yeah.
Like, it used to grow everywhere and animals used to eat it. Uh-huh. They would graze in a pasture and they would eat it. So anytime you had an animal product, which is maybe a conversation for another day, but you used to get CBD, you know, so you got it when you had milk or whatever, you know, you naturally got CBD. So this buildup, I don't think was happening. You can, you know, see that after prohibition, a lot more disease was prevalent, you know, a lot more stress. The suicide rates have skyrocketed. These things that we're dealing with in our society that weren't necessarily there. There's a lot of factors. I'm not going to put prohibition as the top of why this all happened. There's a lot of different things to take into account, but it's a pretty unique correlation. And it does make sense to be at least one of the factors that has, you know, hurt us and kind of made the system stop working within our body. So if you can tell people it's something they used to naturally get as well, and then it got taken away, they can understand that, you know.
No, definitely. And you know, a lot of the naysayers, they're like you said, they're probably not happy either. And, you know, and then there's the other side of the extreme where it's the cure-all, be-all of everything. But, you know, and recently just had a Dr. Stephen Todd, shout out to him, and he was talking about, to your point, you know, the CB2 receptors have been dormant for about 100 years. You know, I'm not sure, I haven't seen that study or where he got that from, but as he was saying, and, you know, it kind of lines up a little bit with prohibition, you know, so how we've been affected by that, obviously, that we used to get it naturally, and now our bodies are lacking this, something that we need in our body. Now, you mentioned something as well, talking about, obviously, the benefits of CBD, different cannabinoids, and how they can help relieve different things that we're experiencing, anxiety, respiratory problems. How do you navigate through that and educating people online, being able to address that, also navigating through the regulations and not getting letters or slap on the wrist or putting yourself at risk for that?
Yeah, we've always toe the safety line. We always have with our cannabis business with this. We wanted to open a dispensary for years and it was a gray area. We don't really mess around with gray area. Our life could have been different. You know, maybe we missed out on money or a different job or something, but we've never wanted to do that. And I think, you know, seeing family get raided and things like that, it's just not worth it. It's not, money's not what this is all about, you know. Obviously in a business, that's the bottom line, but there's just more why behind it. So we try to stay up on information. We go to many of the CBD expos and things like that. I go into all the conversations, speeches from doctors and scientists. I want to know about how it works in the body. There's a lot of branding. There's a lot of things like that. I've gone to business school. I've done a lot of that stuff too. And it's fascinating to me, but I'm more so, if I can teach people how this works in their body and give them information and give them the power back, it will work. So that's where I focus versus trying to be the best marketer that's going to kind of trick somebody into taking it or anything like that. And there's new things coming. This is one of the reasons we went to this lab yesterday too, right? CBD is a cannabinoid. Uh-huh. It's a pretty magical cannabinoid. What about CBG, CBC, CBN? There's a lot.
Yeah.
there's more coming out every single day. So staying in with the doctors and the scientists, and I believe you're still in Tel Aviv right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where all of the studies come from, you know? So one of the doctors that I've really enjoyed following, he goes over there, you know, he goes to Israel, he learns, he's working with doctors over there. So is that accessible to me right now? No, and I'm not a doctor, but we can get this trickle down information from the right sources. So really finding the right sources, finding the people who are studying it, getting in with them, you know, getting in with the cutting edge technology. There was 40 cannabinoids last year or something. Now there's over 200. It's crazy.
That was,
it's
like 130, you know, when I started the podcast, now it's, you know, 200. So it's just, it's incredible, you know, how quickly we're progressing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, new things are going to come out. You know, we're looking at CBG. Oh, we got to see full CBG flower, huge amounts of it yesterday.
Yeah.
These huge 55-gallon drums of CBG oil and stuff like that's coming. It's new. And we don't have to be the only one with that. We don't ever feel we have to be the best. We want to do our best, but we don't need to be the best or do the first thing. I want to do something that's really unique to me. And you'll see those formulations that we're working on coming out over the next year or whenever. But and just, it's really important for us to stay on top of that, you know, to stay in with the community. And
no, exactly. And I mean, you lead me right up to what I want to talk about now. You know, we talk about the healthy formulation, we talk about you know, turmeric. Now talk about Blue Moon Chemicals and what makes you guys so different and everything.
Definitely. Yeah. So our, you know, our background in cannabis basically led us to love cannabis. I love cannabis. I love the plants. I love the smell. I love to grow the plant. I love to have an intimate relationship with this plant through cultivation. You know, you learn to love that plant and really get to know it. Our passion really was in a lot of these superfoods and herbs and things and how they worked with the different systems of the body. So that's what we were studying. Cannabis is part of that, right? But and we lived in Costa Rica. We have experienced a lot of different plant medicines down there and other cultures and how they view these things. But we studied herbs, so switching over to CBD made no, you know, made all the sense in the world. It was just an easy fit. People wanted it. We tried to do this 7 years ago, and nobody wanted it. Now they do, and CBD is amazing. And I just explained why it's amazing, right? It works. Turmeric works. Black pepper works. There's other things out there that have been studied by cultures forever that are amazing. So what we said is we want to highlight CBD. We want to have a CBD company, but we don't want to lose our background in plant medicine. You know, so we want to combine the two. So we have a lot coming out that you'll see, and I don't want to give away all of our juicy secrets, but what we did is we started with our beta tests and the three reasons people came to us. They were having a hard time sleeping. They were in pain or had anxiety, and they're stressed, you know, like, okay. So we made a formulation for each of these things. We have lavender added for great benefits for stress, relaxation, a sleep aid. People love that one. I take all three. We have an original because some people just don't want extra stuff. You just want the CBD, and that's totally fine. I understand it. So we have that. And then we have a turmeric black pepper blend that is geared towards inflammation. And, you know, in my school, there's a lot of quotes out there that disease is caused by inflammation. If you're going to simplify it, disease is caused by inflammation. So if you can have something that's going to help inflammation in the body, it doesn't really matter if it's in, you know, an organ, in a, you know, a joint, around your heart, whatever it is, if there's inflammation, we're having an issue. There's going to be backlash to that eventually, you know. So we can clear up inflammation. We're going to be helping a lot of things. And turmeric's been shown, this is another interesting claim thing, but has been shown to be kind of like a natural Prozac. So really, really good for depression. I know I touched on suicide rates skyrocketing. I mean, depression's, it's huge, and it's huge in young people.
It's so sad. It's epidemic.
It is. Yeah. So CBD helps, you know, can help with that. So can these other herbs and medicines that have been widely used for a long time. Hemp's been widely used in traditional Chinese medicine for a long time, thousands of years. So we're just highlighting some of these other herbs that have been used. This is just going back to basics, basically, you know, just this is what's been done for a long time. do we need fancy studies these days? No, it's been done for thousands of years, and we're combining those things. So that's really what sets us apart, is we're infusing CBD with other herbs as well to give even more potent, you know, medicines for people.
Amazing, amazing. Combining stuff that's been working into stuff that's hot right now that you know works. And like you said, it's been thousands of years using this. It's just, we live in a society that it was erased. So now we have to relearn. Very good. So what can we expect from Blooming Botanicals in the future? What's coming up? 2020, new decade.
Yeah, we have a lot of new stuff. Like I said, the body butter's coming out really soon. Yeah, I don't know what I should or shouldn't say here, but we have a lot of new formulations coming out. So we did reconnect with some new labs. They have really cool stuff coming out. We're definitely going to start using CBG, which I had mentioned, and some of the other smaller minor cannabinoids as well. And, you know, just gathering more information and teaching people about that. There's always more to learn. So we have devoted ourselves to be students of this, and then therefore we can come back and be teachers of it as well. So always watch for information, new products. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Now I ask Brian this, and I ask everybody this, but I'm excited to hear your answer and compare the two. How do you define success, and what does success look like for you?
Oh, you hear what Brian said too.
What's that?
Yeah. I said, I would love to hear what Brian said too. I'm excited to listen to his whole podcast. Yeah. So success, it's funny. This has changed throughout my life sort of as well. But I think, you know, happiness and going back to that sustainability in self, I think brings a lot of success.
That's my thing right there too, is happiness, you know, and I would say there's no road to happiness. Happiness is the road. And that's the only
way. And what I'm learning is, like, I strive to always be happy, and I get mad if I'm not. And it's like this vicious cycle. I think we have to be okay with knowing there's ups and downs, and that the down is also okay. You can pull out of a happiness if you're okay with the down. If you're not, and I used to push away being unhappy, it made things worse. So yeah. There's sustainability and happiness as well, you know, but I'd say that's my goal, is, you know, to enjoy my life with my loved ones and, you know, try to find happiness and things people might not always look at as something great.
Yeah, definitely. And you've got to experience, you have to feel the way you're feeling, you know, and not hide it and not push. You have to experience it. Otherwise, it's going to come up and explode, or it just turns into a horrible negative downward cycle. So definitely, mm-hmm. I was, you know, same thing, always encouraged. Now I had a spiritual guide that he would always say, I'm going to have to, you know, what do I have to, be happy, you know, I have to force you to be happy. But, you know, that's another thing for another time. So very good. Really enjoyed this. Obviously, Sarah, you know, as we close, how can our listeners find out more about Blooming Botanicals and connect with you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And we're kind of all over the internet. So our website is bloomingbotanicalshemp.com. We're pretty active on Instagram. So we're Blooming Botanicals Hemp on Instagram. And we have a Facebook page as well, Blooming Botanicals. So yeah, you can find us anywhere there. There's links to get a hold of me directly through any of those channels as well. So I'd love to connect.
Very good. And all that will be linked in the description here if you're on calican.com, and if you're hearing somewhere else, can definitely get a hold of that as well. So, well, thank you so much for jumping on with me today, Sarah. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you and to Brian and to all of Blooming Botanicals in 2020 and beyond.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great to be here.
All right, thanks. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptake in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us. Plans start at $248. Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. feel free to reach out to us at grow@calacann.com. That's C-A-L-A-C-A-N-N.com. And follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.